expand your business with remote support? Lisa Hendrickson from Call That Girl just released the latest edition of her guide to remote computer support. Check it out at podnuts.com/callthatgirl. That's podnuts.com/callthatgirl. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 349. This is the show where computer repair technicians come on and they give other people like you, possibly computer repair techs yourself, tips and tricks, stories, ideas, anything that can help you guys in your own businesses or your own computer repair endeavors. So today, we're going to do it again with a guest, his first-time guest. I'm happy to have him on. I'm excited to talk to him. Actually, it's Keith the Computer Guy. It's Keith Gordon. How's it going, Keith?
Hey, it's going good. How about you?
Doing awesome, man.
Nice. That's good to hear. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. And your website is keiththecomputerguy.com.
Yes, sir.
Very cool. Well, why don't you tell the people here listening who you are and what you do, and then I'll start pumping you with some questions that I have for you.
Okay, cool. Well, of course, my name is Keith Gordon. I'm 22 years old. I opened up my first computer shop at 21. Pretty much, quick story, I was in college. I had 3 more classes left to graduate with my associates in computer networking. And I caught senioritis between me going to school and also working for a not-for-profit teaching high school students how to refurbish computers and fixing computers in my room. You know, all of that in one, I was getting about 3 to 4 hours of sleep for about 3 hours straight. Well, for about 3 years straight. And I just decided a couple of months before I would be done with school to just quit. So I ended up quitting school. That freed up a whole lot of my time. And I just pretty much partied for about two months. And then I just realized I needed to do something with myself. And I just decided to open up the business. I felt like, you know, this was my opportunity. I had some money saved up and I really had a lot of free time. So first thing I did was I started looking around and scouting and driving around, and I ended up finding a spot like fairly close to my house. It worked out really well, and my parents somehow knew the landlords, and I didn't have to do credit checks or anything like that. I just had to, you know, hand them over the check, and that was it.
So you got a storefront?
Yes, I have a storefront.
That's pretty cool that you just jumped into computer repair and said, just opened up the shop.
Yep. Yeah. I had originally about 3 years prior, I had been, you know, going to people's houses, picking up their computer, dropping it off, stuff like that.
Okay. So you were doing that too. I gotcha.
Yeah. So I was a mobile tech, but I wasn't giving people receipts or anything. And I wasn't, you know, it was just like nuke and wipe. That was it. Here you go.
Yeah. So it was kind of a business, but not really legit full business like you have now.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I'm going to go back a little bit. So what were you majoring in school?
Computer networking.
Computer networking. Mm-hmm. And then you got senioritis, huh?
Yeah, I caught senioritis.
I know
yeah.
that feeling, man. I know that feeling. And but still, even though you didn't finish that, you are still able to be a computer repair tech and still get the knowledge. See, basically, I'm not trying to bash college because I dropped out too. I'm just saying there's so much you can learn just by experience and the internet that unless somebody actually needs a degree from you, you don't really have to have one to be a successful businessman.
No.
So I'm kind of with you on that boat.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that while I was going to school, I would argue with my teachers a lot because these guys were like PowerPoint slide freaks. Like I went through the Cisco Networking Academy, and the teacher used PowerPoints the entire 2 semesters, and the people in there knew nothing once the class was over. Me, on the other hand, I already had experience, so it was like it was interesting for the ones who actually did complete school. I still had them beat by a couple of years.
Right, as far as your experience, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm telling you, it's really. I said it before. The best way to learn how to do something is start a business doing it. You are forced into it.
Yeah, you are. You have no choice. You want it to work, especially when you incorporated or LLC.
Yeah. So what did you do? You opened up your shop, you just moved all your stuff in, opened up the doors, and then what did you do? Like, how did you get it rolling?
So pretty much I got the keys. First thing was first, I was already an LLC. About 4 months prior.
Okay.
So I got my business bank account, and then after that, I went down to the city hall, got the business license, but they really didn't take me too serious because, 22-year-old walking in there, and it was really funny. Like they gave me a bit of a hassle, but
What was their reason? What did they do?
They just didn't take me serious. The clerks at the place, they were just like, "Oh, where's your mom at? We need this, we need that." But luckily, before I had went down there, I had did the research on what I needed. So I was already set. Like they asked for operating agreements and, bank accounts, and they wanted a they wanted the EIN number, and I had all of that stuff already printed out ready. I had
Nice.
copies. Like, there was no reason they can tell me no to this. So I just blew it. I just blew past with flying colors.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, and from there I just started. I started to think, okay, what was next? I pretty much took a what was next mentality with the business. Once I got that, it was like, okay, what's next? Oh, I need an awning. Then I found some awning company. And then I was like, okay, what's next? I need a logo. I ended up doing going to 48-hour logos, and I told them my vision. I told them my favorite color was red and white. And I was just starting, and I told them I wanted it to be Keith the Computer Guy. And I say about a week later, I had over 100 submissions, and I picked the one I like, had the guy change it up a little bit, and that was a logo. That was the best $100 I ever spent.
Wow, you had how many submissions?
About 100.
Wow. It's like
Yeah.
people lining up to give you a logo.
Yeah, and you could actually see the sample. So it really taught me that, doing business online wasn't as evil and creepy as people thought it was. I actually liked that approach better versus like you get recommended to somebody and then they end up sucking.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
And you already gave them a deposit or something.
Totally. That's a smart way to do it. What's the name of that site?
48-hour logos.
It's a great tip, man. All right, so you got your logo. Then what?
So I get the logo. I got the awning. Then I just was like, okay, how am I going to keep track of these computers? I just, then that's how I stumbled upon TechNibble. And the first post I saw was a post by a Callback Girl, and she was talk. What was she talking about? She was talking about her operations manual. So it was the first thing I bought. I
Sweet.
bought that, and then I bought the TechNibble business kit. And I just started reading those over and over, and then I was stuck in between PC Repair Tracker or M Help Desk
Yeah.
or QuickBooks. And originally, I wanted to be cheap and just use QuickBooks, or and then I started to think about, I have to make this scalable. I have to think scalable early, so it'll be easier to transition. And I ended up getting PC Repair Tracker. And it was easy to set up because I already knew a little bit about MySQL databases and
Yeah.
PHP. So, it took a couple of hours, but I once you get it up and going, it was smooth.
How much does that cost?
It was $200.
Ain't too bad. And
Yeah.
it's able to be scaled, it's scalable.
Yeah, I mean, through the gate, it has everything you need. You can enter the customer's information, first, last name, address, email. You can print out an asset label so you can keep track of it, so nobody can be like, "Oh, this is a computer you fixed." You could be like, "No, where's the label at?" Or
Right.
you can track it based off a serial number, or you can even put the product key in. So just in case, a lot of times people have computers and the product key kind of gets smeared off over the years, so you can kind of keep that form.
Nice.
It had built-in credit card processing. It could integrate with PayPal or Authorize.net or Sage Payments. It had everything you need. It had everything I needed to get started.
Very cool. Awesome. All right, so you got that in place. You opened up, and the shop's open at this point, right?
Yep, at this point the shop is open. And also I ended up just buying a couple of I bought two tables from IKEA, and I found some table on a thrift store up north, or on the north side of Chicago. Really nice table, and I got a cash register, keyboard, mouse, computer, and then I brung all of my CDs up there from home, and that was it. And, I was ready to rock and roll.
Was it on a good street, like a good location?
It was next door to a beauty salon,
Okay.
and pretty much the whole strip is there's a couple businesses, maybe like six or seven, but not too much, not too much walking
I
traffic.
got you. I
Not
got you.
too much, a little bit, but not as much as all of the other major streets in Chicago.
I see. How much is your rent, if you don't mind me asking?
The rent is $800 a month.
That's fair. I mean, because I mean, we'll talk about your site in a minute, but I saw your shop on your site, and it looks good. That's definitely worth the money.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah. So then what happened? What I wanted to know is, like, once you opened the doors, were you expecting people to drive by and see it, or how did you get want
Well,
know to get people in the door?
when I first opened the doors, I was expecting people to just start flooding in. Just like people, I was gonna be hammered and phones gonna ringing, but the first month it was just like, oh my God, I'm ready to quit.
Oh, dude.
I was like, oh, I'm throwing a towel in. Plus, I was on like my last grand. I had put so much money into the business, and it still wasn't how I wanted it. But what ended up happening was that all of my friends and my family members started to take me a little bit more serious on computer repair. So I ended up getting a lot of them to come into the shop. People I had already knew started to slowly come in. Because they had heard through the grapevine, I don't know how, that I had opened up a computer shop. I really wasn't trying to tell anybody because I was afraid I would fail. I just kind of was kind of just like a last minute, let's do it, impulsive type of thing. And yeah, everybody took me more serious. People, the first month I made 500, and then the next month it doubled, and then it just kept growing from there.
Damn. So now it's paying the bills, right?
Yep, so now it's paying the bills. One of the best things I think for me that set me what that sets me apart from all the other computer shops in Chicago is that all the computer shops in Chicago are pretty much owned by Chinese people. And there's somewhat of a language barrier, you know? There's somewhat of a language barrier, and also they've been around for a while, a lot of them. There's a big franchise out here that has like 10 stores, and they treat the customers, they don't treat them too good, you know? It's kind of like me. I'm this young, friendly kid. I'm pretty much new to all of this, so I'm doing everything to please the customer. I'm jumping hoops. I'm answering the phone immediately. I can answer all of the questions. I'm patient. So that alone drew in a lot of customers. I think that, and also my prices were, when I first started out, they were very low. Like I was charging what, like $20 to take off passwords, like $60 to wipe the OS clean. All the prices were
Take off
random.
passwords, was that a big demand in your area?
Yeah, it was.
Why?
I don't know. I don't ask any questions.
I don't ask any questions. I had to stop you there because I worked in a pawn shop and there was a lot of password removal I had to do. All right, we'll look past that. Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean as far as language barrier. I actually put on my site, we speak English. I put that on my website when I had my shop, and more than a few times people said, "You know why I came into your shop? Because you said we speak English." That is, they actually told me that. So it's a button for people. It's okay. I mean, I'm nothing against somebody who doesn't know English, but
Of course.
it's just a button for business in America if it's good to speak English and people want that. So
Yeah, they do. And They do. They want somebody who they can talk about the Bulls, you know, the Bulls game or something with, you know, in between. Exactly. So that really helped.
So your prices were low, and then what happened? People, yep. You started working too hard, not making enough.
Well, I started to know as I started to research more. I learned that I started reading eMyth, and I learned that certain prices attract certain people, and also reading up on TechNibble. You know that the cheap customers were usually the ones who caused you the most headaches and wanted more something for nothing, pretty much. So an interesting thing happened when I actually did raise the price to kind of meet my competitors. I started to get some of their customers. And it helped, and it kind of the bad customers who demanded a whole lot but barely wanted to pay, they kind of weeded themselves out started to look for the next piece of tech. That's what we call them.
You know, I'm really glad you're saying this, because this is proof of why you shouldn't just try to lowball everybody. And I'm glad that you've experienced that in real life, because it's easy to say, oh yeah, if you charge a lot, you'll get better customers, and some people might believe it and some people might not, but it's for you to come on and say, yes, I went through this and experienced it, is really good, I think, for people to hear.
Yeah. It's very true. Do not lowball your competitors. Do not do it. It's best, you know, you get somewhere near them and just improve on customer service. Customer service is key.
Totally. That alone can boom your business. Good customer service.
Yes.
All right. So, you had people now coming in, like, higher quality people coming in your business, and what happened?
So what ended up happening, I realized that I couldn't rely on, I realized I had to automate the business. So I sat down and went back to TechNibble.
Nice.
And I started to, you know, research automation, and I found out about, Innite Pro. You know, I found out about that. That alone, oh my God, that saved me so much time, because I was spending, you know, an hour or two installing Adobe Premiere, and we're installing Adobe Reader, Flash, and you got to go to all of the websites, and, you know, and then I call myself trying to keep them all updated, but, you know, they come out with stuff all of the time.
Right.
And trying to do all of that, it was a headache. So I found out about Innite Pro, and then I found out about Auto Backup for Tech, because what ended up happening, my first backup customer, I told him I was going to back everything up, and I ended up missing a bunch of stuff.
Right. I think this happens to everybody.
Yes, and the lady was so upset with me. She had a business, and it was like 10 years worth of stuff on there, and I lost it all.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so.
This is how you learn the hard way.
Yeah, I had to learn the hard way, hard, very hard. So after that, I found out about Auto Backup for Tech. I bought it. I ended up buying a hard drive reader, the ones that you can just stick it right in.
Yeah.
And it was history from there. And from there, I just started to reinvest. I ended up finding out about the Kangaroo USB hard drives.
Oh, yeah, with the lock on them, right?
Yes, because another thing that was happening, I would fix somebody's computer, put the flash drive in, and then I would reinfect another computer.
Yeah.
And then I would sit back and wonder, like, what's going on,
yeah.
You know?
Because
you're doing so much at once in a one-man shop, sometimes you don't realize, you know, that you're stepping over your own 2 feet. And I ended up getting that, and I ended up... I ended up just buying different things that would help me. I got some better screwdrivers. And another great tip too, I had KVM switches. I had three of them, and I had three monitors. But eventually I realized, I read some posts by Tony Scarpelli. He's also been a big help. Him, Tony Scarpelli, Call That Girl. She's answered a bunch of my emails and a bunch of other people. They pretty much convinced me that KVM switches are unproductive.
Really?
They're inefficient. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. Inefficient. A lot of times you'll have three computers hooked up to it. Of course, you can have more, but I would forget that you know, I was installing the OS and all I had to do was hit next. So here it is, 4 hours has went by and I'm focused on that one computer that's not working right for whatever reason. And I could have just hit next and this could have been done and out the door.
I see. So because you mean because you couldn't see it, it wasn't right because in your face? I gotcha.
Exactly. I would forget. You know, it's only a click away, but when you're when you have a problem, you know, when something isn't going right, you give that your immediate attention. And what I learned is that if you just have like three or four monitors and you just have one computer hooked up to them, it allows you to focus more. I'm learning that quality is better than quantity. It's better to work on four computers instead of 10 because you can get those. Sometimes, you know, a computer may not just instantly reload. A lot of times computers just don't go through the, you know, things don't go smooth.
Right.
Somebody may forget to tell you that they have pictures or, you know, the hard drive may be bad.
Yep. These are the kind of things that make you want to tear your hair out, what you're talking about now. Because by all rights, things should run smooth, but there's something that does not make it run smooth, and it's different with every machine, and it's just computers are crazy.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And that's the issue I was having a lot of times is that I would, you know, customer come in and say, hey, my computer has a virus. Of course, it shows the symptoms of a virus. It's running slow. Mm-hmm. Every stuff is popping up. A whole bunch of toolbars, but a lot of times it would have a virus and the hard drive would be bad. And depending on how bad the hard drive is, some hard drives get so bad that you can't even reload the operating system.
Right.
And then you're scratching your head going, oh my God, what's wrong? What's going on? You're changing cables, the processor, the memory, you're scratching your head. But if you just, from the gate, just test the hard drive out in the memory before you even work on it. It'll save you a headache.
What do you do to test that?
Right now, I'm using a program called Inquisitor.
Okay.
And you can Google that, and it tests out the hard drive, the memory, the processor, all of that.
Neat.
That's one, and then there's a bunch more. That you can use. That's pretty much what I do now. Even when I see a computer, it looks like it has a virus, I run all of the tests first. I let the test run. The tests usually take 4 to 5 hours, but it's worth it in the long run because I know exactly what I'm up against.
Totally. I could definitely see that. Kind of like what?
Kind of, you know, instead of like telling a customer, okay, it's going to be $100 a fix, and they're saying, are you sure? And you're saying yes. And then you have to call them back and say, oh, you know, your hard drive is bad, and the hard drive is now $100 due to the flood. So now they want their money back, and you have to give it back to them because, you know, you promised them $100, but now it's $200.
Yeah.
And
so how do you get around that? Do you do a free estimate or something?
Well, I'll typically just do a $39 for a diagnostic.
Okay.
And then that $39 will go towards the repair of the computer.
Gotcha.
And I'll run a diagnostics test and from there figure out what's wrong with it exactly. And then, you know, if the hard drive is bad, okay, it's not bad, okay, just the OS. Then I call a customer, let them know what the issues are, the prices. They say, okay, I'll go ahead and fix it.
Good. Good. Mm-hmm. Sounds workable. So that's been working out for you.
Yeah, so that's been working out good. But some people, they don't want to wait 4 to 5 hours. They want it like now. Now, you have to play it by eye because sometimes, you know, of course, if somebody brings an i5 in, the hard drive isn't going to be bad. So there's no point in, you know, running a test on that. But I have had some that have, I have had a case where, you know, an i5, the hard drive is bad, but it's rare. If, you know, if that person wants it that same day and you have a time, you know, go ahead and do it. But if it's, you know, you people bring in one of those Dell, the ones all of the shops are selling for like $200 or something. The ones a lot of businesses got rid of, the gray ones.
Man, I'm so out of it. Not the D610.
Yeah, it is the D610. Yep.
Huh. They usually have bad hard drives.
They usually, yep. Well, you know, they're older. They bad hard drives, bad memory, all of that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not sure what you do. You probably do something like this. But when I had a shop and people would come in and wanted their computers right away, I would tell them about my Rush service, which is basically almost twice as much money, but they basically get their computer worked on immediately. That was what we did. Do you do mm-hmm. something like that?
Well, I don't. I'm tempted to a lot, but right now I'm just doing first come, first serve.
Yeah. But if people are willing to pay, it actually worked out. And people were willing to pay. If they need it now, they need it now. They're willing to pay. And it's a good, wow. It's a service to give. So.
Yeah, it is. I try to make it so all of the computers I worked on, like, immediately. Mm-hmm. And right now, it really hasn't been a problem. Usually the people who want their computer back that same day, I'm usually able to do it or that next day. So I try to get things out, like, as soon as possible. Like, I haven't gotten to a point where, like, I'm super busy.
Right.
And, like, I can't. You know, there's some days I do have to stay overnight, but for the most part, with me automating everything, things kind of flow pretty smoothly. Like, I can on average fix about 30 computers a day, 20 computers a day, and everybody is happy.
So I just want to make sure I got that number right. You fix 20 to 30 computers a day?
Well, I can pretty much. I have the shop set up, so I'm equipped. I've had a few days where about 10 computers came in, or 15.
Right.
It's on and off.
Well, that's pretty good, man. I don't know many people that could do that. That's pretty amazing. That's a lot of computers. I mean, unless you're just removing passwords off them or something. But yeah, right. As far as, like, do full jobs, I had trouble getting four done a day sometimes. How many hours a day do you work?
I try to fit everything into 10 to 6.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And what I'll do, I just play music through Pandora, and I cut my cell phone off.
You do what? Play music and do what?
I just play music and I keep my cell phone off. I got you. Yeah.
Cool, man. That's good work ethic.
Yeah, you know, friends and family get mad at me all the time. They're like, "Hey, you never answer your phone," but you know, I try to treat the business like as if I was working a 9 to 5, you know, like, you can't answer your phone when you're, you know, when you're working. Just like, well, some people do, of course, but I just try to give it my all, you know, so I don't feel bad when I close up at 6, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a great work ethic. Good job. I'm going to talk a minute up here about your website. I went to your website, and I have to say, man, I was kind of delighted watching it, because here's the thing about Keith's website. It's at Keith the Computer Guy. There's not much on it. It's pretty darn plain. But what he does have right in your face is one of the best things I've ever seen. It's a video of his shop with him, and you have one employee, right, named Mike?
Yes.
Him and Mike in there working, different camera views, different shots of you guys fixing computers, shots of, like, the outside of the shop, the inside of the shop. And what it did for me as I watched it was I felt I knew you guys. You seemed like friendly guys. You were clean, professional looking, and it looked like you knew what you were doing. Like, now for you to be able to communicate that on the first page of your site with that video is priceless to me. I think it's a great move that you did that. So tell me about how you came up with your site and why you decided to do that.
Well, I'm a big fan of Zen, you know, simplicity.
Yeah.
And I've looked at over probably 200 computer repair sites, and one thing that really aggravated me is that they all were complex and stuff was everywhere. Right. It was really a big eyesore. So I really wanted mine to be very simple and straight to the point.
Well, you nailed that.
Thank you. I wanted to be straight to the point, and I wanted to give people that feeling you just described. So I called up my buddy. He does cinematography, and he liked the idea, and he went ahead and did it for me. He's done a bunch of commercials for a bunch of different companies. So I told him my vision, and he just came up with everything. I just had to say my script and smile and.
Yeah. I mean, I forgot to mention the video is professionally done. You can tell, so it came out really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I told him pretty much, you know, how I wanted the inside to be and the outside, and he had a HD camera. Some it looked really expensive. I didn't even want to touch it. and he did it all in one day, and from there, it's just been great. I've been getting a really good response from it. And I just wanted to show. I tried to convey the message originally with the first site through words, and then I tried pictures, and then I realized that it was best I just do a video. I really wanted to stand out, and I was kind of weird because as soon as you go on a website, the video starts, but it kind of gives people, like you said, that home feel that we do. Understand, you know, their computer problems, and we want to solve them, and we are friendly, and
yeah, it basically has everything that somebody would want to see for a new business. Like if they're bringing their computer to somebody they don't know, you included everything in that video that they would want to see. I mean, it's really brilliantly done. I think that's great. The only thing about your site that confused me, and I know you want to keep it simple, is mm-hmm. why don't you have your phone number just right there next to your name? I mean, I had to click a link to find your phone number.
Well, honestly, there's supposed to be a different header right there, but
gotcha.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a header right there with the logo, but
gotcha.
Procrastination.
Okay, all right, good. So you're gonna have your phone number on that other one?
Yeah, yeah, I'll get that done tonight because I keep procrastinating on it.
That's other than that, man, the thing's really good, and I'm gonna bet that people who are watching this and go to your website and see the video, they're gonna want your friend to do a video for them or something like it. So tell him you might have some business lined up for him.
Yes, yeah, I'm gonna break out my affiliate program with him.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Smart move. Cool, man. So tell us about your employee. Like, when did you decide you needed to hire somebody, and what's all that about?
I decided I need to hire somebody when oftentimes I would talk to a customer on the phone, then another customer would walk in,
right.
Then I would have to put them on hold, and I kind of let it get to a point where it hurted for me to be in there by myself. I started to see the quality of my work go down a little bit.
Right, right.
And between that and also me bringing in more revenue, where I felt comfortable to hire somebody, that's when I felt like it was time. I would say about 10 months into it is when I got my first employee.
And how did you find him, and why was he a good choice?
Well, he's actually my cousin. And he was a good choice because, you know, I felt comfortable with him. He already had good people skills. Originally, he didn't have any computer skills whatsoever. He just knew the basics, you know, like Facebook and all of that. Because I've taught computers to people for the last 6 years, in about a month or two, he sounded like an expert, like he was A+ certified.
That's awesome.
So you know, I guess, you know, the universe works in mysterious ways. Me teaching allowed me to, you know, pretty much get him up to speed really fast. You know, because when you're out in the field, when people call, you know, and they want you to come to their business or to their home, they want it usually that same day or the next day. And it would be hard for me having a one-man shop because, you know, I could only either do it early in the morning or late at night. And some people didn't like that. So I just wanted somebody who I could trust in the shop, who I can trust, you know, who could actually ask questions. I take that back. This is my second employee, because I originally had somebody that was a secretary, you know, or she, it was a young lady, and she didn't know anything about computers, but she pretty much would take the computers, you know, check them in and print out the receipt and all that. But one of the things I noticed was that she couldn't, the customers felt uncomfortable because they had all of these questions and she couldn't answer them.
Right.
So she would often call me on site and I would have to explain it over the phone.
Right.
And it eventually became a headache. You know, I'm constantly asking the questions, and then I couldn't get the on-site job done in a timely manner, and the person is looking over my shoulder like, hey, why are you on the phone right. paying you $60 an hour? Get off that phone. So it was a bit of a conflict of interest. I did that for about 3 months, and then I realized it was time to find a tech, but it was hard. You know, I interviewed a couple of guys, but to find a person that really has a salesman side and also a techie side, and that's really like the balance. You have to find somebody who has that balance. But unfortunately, there's very few out here. Yeah. And if they are out here, they want like $20 an hour, which I don't blame them for. That's pretty much it. You know, you'll often find guys who are very great at computers, but their social skills are just like. Or they don't have a high confidence. They can't maintain good eye contact. Right. They don't really know how to explain right. things.
That's one of the reasons why I teamed up with this latest group of videos we made with a guy named Chris Barry. I don't know if you know him. He's been on a couple shows, but he's the best person I've ever met as far as business and tech, businessman side and tech side. And so that's why it was really good that we made these videos on how to basically – it's for technicians who are missing that business side. Mm-hmm. And that is such a void that needs to be filled. So we tried to fill that void with these videos we made. I'm going to plug it. It's at wisetechnician.com. So if you guys are listening, can totally understand, you know, what Keith is saying here, check out that site and see those videos are the handling for that. That's basically how to handle that. But you're right. There's not a lot of people out there that are like that. It's tough to find.
Yeah. And I think that's what stands out with me. Like I have a pretty good balance between tech and salesman. Like people tell me all the time, you know, gift the gab. I don't know how I ended up in his position, but it helps, you know, when you can speak non-techie to the customers.
Oh, dude, I'm sure your customers love you. They probably love you. And like, if Mike is the same way, they're going to love him. And if either of you guys aren't there, they're going to just say, where's Keith? Where's Mike? Where's Keith? Where's Mike? That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. You know what's actually funny about that? Because the shop is called Keith the Computer Guy, I had this problem for a while. People would call and, you know, Mike would pick up the phone. He would say, hey, this is Mike. How can I help you with your computer? And they'd be like, oh, well, can I speak to Keith? and you know, it was, and we're a team, you know, so
yeah.
We would have a hard time explaining to people that, hey, you know, it's not just me, there's Mike too. But then they were like, no, I want to speak to Keith. So,
that's so funny, man.
So word to the wise, guys, do not name your business after yourself because you'll have problems later on.
That's smart tip. Good tip.
Yeah, but you know, I have some, you know, for the most part, people they've gotten used to Mike. I even have a lot of some of my customers. If Mike gets to them first, like we play this game, like whoever says hello to the customer first, they get them. You know, some people don't even know who I am. You know, they're just like, oh, I want to deal with Mike right. and Mike only. And another thing too with my business, if Mike dealt with a customer, first, like he entered them into the system. I typically, whenever the customer calls, I usually give him the phone. I let him talk to him.
Yeah.
I kind of treat it like how, you know, sales, when you call, you know, when you get an account with, let's say, a supplier at a MA lab or something, you know, you always have that sales rep, that person you're comfortable
right.
with.
Right.
They know your name. They probably know your birthday after something, you know, who knows? They know a little bit about you. It kind of helps the customer feel, you know, they feel more comfortable. And sometimes, you know, Mike isn't there and I'm there, but because like what I talked about earlier, I'm organized with PC Repair Tracking. I can go back and look at what Mike did. I can say, oh, okay, I see Mike did this, so he did that, and okay, I see he left notes about, you know, you like your wallpaper this color or something. Okay, right. Let me change that for you.
I see. I see. No, it is smart that you do that because they have the reality of Mike and they know him, and it's just good customer service. But if you have to, I mean, it's good to have PC Tracker to tell you if you needed the information, but yeah, it's smart the way you have that set up.
Yeah.
Now, before we go over to emails, you mentioned earlier in the show that you do computer teaching. Tell us a little bit about that. Like, how'd you get involved with that, and what do you do?
Okay. So, oh man, let me see. Where's the story? So I'm a sophomore in high school. And there's this lady, she works for this youth center called Southwest Youth Collaborative. It's a youth center on the south side of Chicago, 64th and Kidzie. And, they have all kind of programs. They had a hip hop dancing, they had computer refurbishment, they had a poetry and all of this stuff. And this lady, she worked at my high school and she also worked at the youth center. She would tell me, you know, hey, go check out this computer program. You know, you might like it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I didn't want to do it at first because, you know, girls don't like nerds. I didn't want to be, you know, it's like, no, I'm not doing it. It's not cool.
Right.
So she kept asking me, I said, okay, whatever, I'll try it. I ended up falling in love with the program. The program was, it was funded through a not-for-profit called Youth Technology Corps. And, Youth Technology Corps would receive funds from another not-for-profit called After School Matters. And, After School Matters actually paid the high school kids a stipend for coming to this after school program. It was from like it was like 3:30 to like 6:30.
Really?
3 days out of the week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And there was about 30 kids, two instructors, and we would just have computers. There were computers everywhere. We would just learn how to fix them, take them apart. You know, we had stuff everywhere. So I ended up staying in the program. I ended up really, really liking computers. And as soon as I graduated out of high school, they offered me a position to teach at the exact same place I grew up in.
Huh.
At 18 years old, I'm in a room full of 17, 16, 18-year-olds teaching them how to fix computers.
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy. And they just pretty much threw me in there. And it was just like, here you go. And I was just like, oh. So I think that's where my people skills came in. And I had really no choice but to learn how to, you know, get people to do what I need them to do in a timely manner.
Wow.
So, yeah, I right out of high school, I started teaching, and from there, I learned I learned about politics. We would oftentimes give computers away to aldermen, aldermen for their campaigns or stuff, or right. If they wanted to give them away to not-for-profits in their community. I got a chance to meet the office, the CEO of Office Max, and do some things with him, Magic wow. Johnson.
Really?
I got a chance to donate some computers to the school that he funds from time to time and sponsors. That's how I got started, man. I would never think that starting out in high school, you know, a simple program like that would take me as far as, you know, to where I am today.
Wow, that's amazing, man. I wouldn't think so either. But it's good that you actually went ahead and did it.
One of my buddies, pretty much, he decided not to teach and work at Taco Bell because they were paying more. And he's still there today. So I'm glad I didn't focus on money, and I just focused on what made me happy at the time. And I think that's important, you know.
Oh, it's huge! It's huge. You made the right choice. I think people need to follow in your footsteps on that one. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well. Good stuff, man. You want to stay on the line? Help me read. Help me handle two emails here. We got two emails.
Yeah, sure.
All right. This one is from Lynn. She says, I was watching one of your podcasts a few weeks ago on my Roku box. A PC shop owner described a utility that would back up Windows settings such as screensaver and power settings. It also backed up settings for many applications like Outlook and Skype. I cannot remember the name of it. I believe it was from a company in Europe. Can you please tell me the name of this? From Lynn. P.S. I enjoy your podcasts. I think I know what it is, but I'm pretty sure you do. You probably mentioned it earlier in the show.
Yeah, auto backup for tech. That's the program. It does, but it's great because it does back up the customer's wallpaper, and customers love that when they can get their computer like exactly the way you had it, especially when you have to wipe it. Oh, you wouldn't believe some of the little things count. Their username also, their password. Yep, it'll back up the wallpaper, the Skype settings, the Outlook settings, the documents, the pictures, the movies, all of that. And then it'll back it up, and then it'll put it back in the folders for you. So it can really, really save you a bunch of time and headaches.
Yeah, I hear. I haven't used it in my shop because like I said, I've been out of the business for a little while now, so I haven't used this version. Mm-hmm. But people I've talked to rave about it. They say it's the best time saver ever. In fact, it works so good that some customers look at their computer and don't think you did anything because exactly. It looks exactly the same. And of course, it runs a lot better, but I guess they're used to people wiping out all of their settings.
Yeah, that's very common. I don't know about other cities, but in Chicago, a lot of computer shops, they just wipe them clean. They don't even attempt to that's their favorite line, and people do that to me all the time. I'll tell them, you know, we charge $99, and then we can back up the data. And they go, "What? You can back up my data? What?
Yeah.
And then, what? Are you serious? You can save my pictures and my? Oh my God! I've had a few ladies kiss me. Thank you. Oh my God! You're so wonderful.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Let me see here. That's it for that email. It's from Lynn. By the way, the company is Fabs. It's called Fabs Auto Backup. And we do have a discount, a Podnuts discount. If you go to podnuts.com/deals, I think we do 10% on auto backup for tech. So if you guys want to save 10%, go to podnuts.com/deals, and you could buy Fabs Auto Backup from there. I was going to say, like, that's another customer service point, what you just talked about. I mean, those little things that you talk about, like, people will just love you for those kind of things.
Yes. The little things count. Details, every single detail counts. Another great thing, make sure your computer shop smells good, because 9 times out of 10, your customers are going to be women, and they love things that smell good. So make sure it's clean. My shop is spotless. You can even, how the shop looks in the video, that's how it always looks.
Nice.
There's never like cords everywhere and stuff just piled up. Everything, we clean it every single day. And
do you do anything to make it smell good, or you just clean it?
I clean it, and I also have this machine that you can put these oils on inside, and it kind of just, it heats it up and it goes into the air.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's nice. Good tip, man. All right, last email is from Peter. Said, "Hey, Steve, I've been a listener for a few years now, and the shows continue to be a great resource. In Podnuts Daily number 347, you had an email from a guy who was doing part-time computer repairs and wanted to know of training resources. I think you said that he was 56 years old. I'm 55 and doing it part-time, and thought it would be great if I could get in touch with him and discuss similar issues. Thanks for your help." That's from Peter. Now, I went looking for Peter for that email to give them Peter's information here, and I couldn't find it. That's why I'm reading this on the show. It was a person named John who had wrote in on Podnuts Daily 347. John, if you're listening, send me another email. I'll get your email address, and I'll hook you up with Peter, and you guys could talk about computer repair stuff if you so desire. And so thank you, Peter, for writing the email. Glad you're enjoying the shows, and hopefully I could help you out with that. All right, that's it for the emails. Keith, man, it was really good talking to you. Thanks for bringing all the good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to say, continue this podcast, and I really appreciate you. I really appreciate that you have responded to the email so fast, and just how humble you are. You know, your radio station is heard everywhere around the world, and for you to, you know, to treat me with so much respect, and not, you know, sometimes people can, you know, become arrogant as they grow. But I can most definitely tell, our conversations, exchanging via email and also through Skype, that you're a great guy.
Hey, so, man, thanks a lot. No problem. I appreciate you saying that. It's really nice. Well, tell us more where people can find you, Keith. Anything else you want to say to the folks before we end off? And that should be that.
You know, you can find me at KeithTheComputerGuy.com. You can on Facebook, Facebook.com/KeithTheComputerGuy. Twitter, KTheComputerGuy. And what's one thing I want to say? I want to say that that the only way you're going to be successful is if you make sacrifices. Hmm. And I've made a lot of sacrifices. One big sacrifice I made was eliminating toxic people from my life. Family members, friends, you name it. If a person isn't building you up, they're taking you down. They're making you weaker. They even make you stronger or weaker. And you have to learn to say no. I think that should be the number one. Number two, learn to say no. To be successful, you have to learn to say no. You have to learn to say no. You have to say no to a lot of things. And you have to also, number three, realize that you need a mentor. Find a mentor. I have a bunch of mentors. And some of the computer shops close to me, I know majority of our owners who have computer shops in Chicago. I literally walk up to them. I say, hey, my name is Keith the Computer Guy. I have a shop. You know, here's my card. Is there any tips you can give me? And a lot of times, you know, we have fun. We'll sit back, we'll talk, and they share tips. I give them tips. Some of these guys have been in business for over 5 years, and they aren't doing half the stuff I'm doing as far as with auto backup for tech, or you know, the list goes on. So there's most definitely a chance for you to you have some type of value if you're just on Tech Nibble once a day, like. That's another tip. Visit Tech Nibble. Read all of Call That Girl's posts. She has a lot of great information on how to get your business started, how to maintain it. And number four, just stay humble, you know. Stay humble. Oh, and number five, do not mix business with pleasure. It will burn you. It will burn you later. Do not do it. No matter. Don't confuse your customer smiling at you as a way. Don't confuse that with, okay, I can call this lady at night and ask her how she's doing and how's her day. No, don't do it.
Wow.
By any means, if a customer wants to talk to you that bad, they'll give you their phone number. So they'll say, hey, call me later on that night. Okay. They'll say it. Trust me, they'll say it. They'll just flat out say it. So don't guess.
That's a good tip, man. That's a good tip. All of them were good tips.
Yes.
That's funny.
Yep.
Cool. Well, thank you everybody who came out live, and everybody who's downloading and listening to this through just any type of stream, Roku box, however you're getting it. We fully appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed the show. That's going to be it for PodNuts Daily. Music for PodNuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.